Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Beyond the Romance Drama Podcast / YouTube channel. I am your host, Carolyn Hines, and I am joined by my friend, Stitch. And we are going to talk about the Korean drama, True Beauty. So this one came out at the end of 2020. So actually, it is a year since the show was released because we're recording this in December. And the show came out on December 9th of last year. So we're going to get into this. And before we start this, if you're new to the channel, I like to do a pros and cons. So the format is we'll do our cons of the show first, of what we think of the drama first, and then we'll do our pros because I like to end on a high note. And but before we get into that, I'll just ask Stitch to say what got them involved and becoming a fan of Korean dramas, and say a little bit about themselves, and then we'll get into the show. So Stitch.
All right. So I'm Stitch, and I run Stitch's Media Mix. It's like this multimedia, like fandom media coverage site. And I love watching TV. So I think my foray into K-dramas was the one that Rain did, was it Full House, where like the woman comes home and there's like this hot guy, Rain, in her house, like, excuse you. And it's like a comedy romance of errors. And because I was like, oh, so Rain, who I love, you know, because Rain is hot, also does dramas. And so I think that was like my first kind of my intro to K-dramas. And I watched a bunch of like older dramas. Like, so I bounced around different East Asian media properties. So I definitely had a huge like Japanese movie and TV show phase. Like I keep up with their film industry more than I do their TV industry now. And it's kind of like the opposite for Korea. So I'm like very into what they're doing on TV. Have no idea what's in Korean theaters right now. And I'm in it for like the big romances, the complicated plots, and all of the miscommunication. Like, that's my thing.
Ah, yes, all the tropes. Oh, Rain. Lovely, lovely Rain. We all love Rain. I don't think I've seen the Full House one, but I think the first drama that I saw him in was one called Sketch. And that one is like a thriller. It's really, really good. And I want to see him doing more, I think, dramatic roles like that, because I think the last few that he's done have been more romantic family dramas, because there's one where he's like caught between two, I think, parallel universes, and he has a daughter and a wife. And I haven't seen that one. It's on my very, very long watch list. I will get to it eventually, because I do love Rain. Yeah, you mentioned the miscommunication and the drama and the angst and all that. This show, True Beauty, definitely has that. So the show is directed by Kim Sang-yum, and it's written by Yang Gui, who is, which is the original webcomic, because the show is based on a webcomic. And then I'm guessing the adaptation was written by Lee Si-yun. And I will get, like, we're going to talk as we are starting with our cons. I will admit, I was not too enthused with this drama when it was announced, and then when I saw the promo for it, and then when it started, I did not get into it until recently, like literally the last week I watched it. And I did that because I didn't want to talk about it with Stitch. But the reason I didn't really, I wasn't really enthused with this show is because of the premise. I do not like to see scenes of bullying. And we know that when it comes to bullying scenes, Korean and other Asian dramas do not hold back. Like, they get super intense with bullying scenes. And I used to be bullied in secondary school, and I eventually had to learn how to kick ass on my own and stand up for myself. So like, I do have my own history with bullying, so that is very, it's not triggering, but it just, I would say, yeah, triggering, but it's upsetting, because then I want to be like, bullying is so bad and I can't stand bullies. And there's quite a bit of that in the show. And yeah, so the premise of that and the thing where the bullying comes in is because there's the character Im Ju-kyung, played by Moon Ka-young, and she is considered ugly because she has acne, thick eyebrows, and wears thick rimmed glasses. And because
as somebody who looks functionally thick rimmed glasses and gigantic eyebrows, that's a lot to deal with, you know, even though the beauty standards are different between Korea and, you know, Florida, where I'm at, you know, it definitely does feel some kind of way to see someone get bullied for features that you have.
And
superficially.
Exactly. And the thing is, I would have worn my glasses because I do wear glasses when I wear my contacts, but I do wear glasses and my glasses are considered thick rimmed. And the only reason I'm not wearing them is because of the ring light. Like, the ring light reflects in my glasses. So when I'm doing interviews or the podcast recordings or anything, I don't wear my glasses simply because of that. But I personally, as a person who does wear glasses, who did have extremely bad acne as a teenager and as an adult, I do have the occasional breakout, especially in summer when it's hot, my face breaks out. And, you know, I keep my eyebrows thin, but, you know, as I did also have thick eyebrows in school. And like, these are things that many of us experience as teenagers and adults. Adults do have skin problems, as I mentioned. But for this to be considered ugly, I was just like, So there's that. But then it also stars Cha Eun-ho, who plays as Isuan, who is the love interest. And like, again, this premise is very similar to My ID is Gangnam Beauty, which Cha Eun-ho was also in. So I was just like, it's the same premise, but I think I actually prefer this one slightly over My ID is Gangnam Beauty. And
he's basically playing the same character, just maybe better adjusted, because his character in My ID in Gangnam Beauty is like very, he's a bit colder and it's not as explained well. So here, Eun-ho is playing a character who has like deep trauma. And so you know it kind of from the start, even if you don't know the full story. So you can tell, like, the reason why he alienates his classmates, you know, until he meets Im Joo-kyung and kind of, like, interacts with her positively, like, as, you know, young adults, is because he's still healing from trauma. Like, whereas with My ID is Gangnam Beauty, you're just kind of like, wow, you're just kind of a douche.
He did have his funny moments in My ID is Gangnam, because there's like a couple of gifts that I keep on my phone. Like, there's a part where he's like, are you an idiot? I have that meme saved in my phone, because I'm just like, that was an accurate moment. We'll get into more of the cons, but I just want to list two of the other main characters, because a lot of my cons center around these four main characters. So the other one is Han So-jun, played by Wong Eun-yup, and then Kang Soo-jin, played by Park Yoon-ha. And these are the four main teenage characters. So, like, they're all friends. Soo-jun and Soo-ho were best friends. And they're, as Stitch mentioned, their trauma is kind of tied into each other. And then there's Kang Soo-jin, who is Im Joo-kyung, her friend that she befriended one when she switched to school. So now we've got those four covered. We're going to get into our cons. So for you, Stitch, we're going to do your cons first. What were your biggest cons?
So the premise, to an extent, even though I really love this drama, was a big con, because it's very 90s. If you remember, 90s in the US, you had like this wave of like teen movies where it was like ugly girl reinvents herself, hot guy falls for her. And I mean, at points, True Beauty does subvert that, because Lee Soo-ho does find Joo-kyung attractive, like, internally. It's her true beauty to him is inner, which is really nice. But you're subject to everyone else around her going like, oh, you're ugly, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. And it is very frustrating to deal with, because you're just kind of like, oh, well, she's gonna need therapy. People are very mean to her. I also found myself liking the second lead more. So Han So-jun, I liked him more ultimately than Lee Soo-ho, which I wasn't expecting, because he's introduced kind of really poorly. But because of things that Lee Soo-ho does across like the last like four or five episodes, I was just like, y'all need to grow up. And so I kind of like cooled toward him while watching. I was like, oh, well, I don't really like this. And then just like, I recognize that bullying is a significant issue that Korean students deal with. And so I'm not knocking that. It was just kind of predictable how the friendships kind of devolved related to like Im Joo Kyung's, like her face reveal in the last like quarter of the series. She is, she really, I just feel like if you go through an entire year with someone and you can't tell they're wearing makeup, you're not very clever, because she's wearing a lot of it. So they're like, oh, you lied to us about your makeup. And it's like, but you didn't ask. And so to make that a significant plot point, tied up in with the like, oh, well, she doesn't deserve Lee Soo-ho. And it's like, everybody wears makeup, I think. Like, I'm a minority in that I don't wear makeup. Like, it's not a big deal. And so to see people like kind of super overreacting was really weird. And her family was a major con. For most of the series, her family's incredibly awful to her. Like, her dad is her closest ally. Like, mm-hmm. that's what she has. And her mom is really mean to her, to a point where I'm like, if my mom, who's definitely really mean to me, was that mean, I didn't even know what I would do. You know, it's great that, like, closer to the end of the series, like, her brother, who is, like, really was, like, rude to her, like constantly insulting her, like lightens up and becomes an ally, and her mom shows support. But like for most of the series, you have to deal with her being told that she's ugly and basically unlovable by the person who gave birth to her. Like, mm-hmm. if not for her really cool older sister and her weird ass dad, like that whole family would be a loss.
Mm-hmm. So many things. I agree with everything. Like, all of those are my cons. Beginning with the whole concept of her having acne as being ugly. You mentioned like a lot of North American shows and films had that. That was a premise in the 90s and early 2000s a lot, because you had like She's All That. You had like Clueless, where there was a character who had to be made over in order to be considered worthy of recognition and being treated nicely by the cool kids, you know? So like, we'll begin there. So the whole idea that someone has to be attractive, and this is by fitting societal standards, in order to be seen as being worthy of being treated nice, as being treated as a human being, as being acknowledged, as being only worth being, like, if you're ugly, you're not fit to date the hot guy, you're not fit to hang up with the cool kids, you're not fit to even have friends because you're considered ugly. And the whole concept of acne being the reason she's considered ugly in this particular case offends me on so many levels, because it's a skin condition that everyone goes through, especially teenagers. You know, so it's like you're stigmatizing a normal skin condition. You know, it's like you're stigmatized. It's like you're like, and another part of the thing that really bothered me with that is because it's never addressed as being treatable. Acne is treatable. Like, you can have cystic acne, which is like the really, really bad kind, but it's still treatable. It can be treated with medication. You can use medicated makeup products. Like, because my skin is very sensitive, I only use specific brands. I use like The Ordinary, which is natural, but it's medicinal, but it doesn't irritate my skin. I don't use like for skincare, I use why am I drawing a blank? it's a Korean brand, it's Innisfree. I use like Innisfree or Laneige, because they don't irritate my skin. I don't use like specific lip brands like NYX, because I literally get reactions to medication. Like, my lips will swell, I get allergic reactions. So I'm like, these are things that are not addressed in the show. And it's very ironic to me, because this show does center beauty and skincare products a lot. It centers makeup, and not one of these makeup products, not one of the skincare products that are promoted in the PPLs in this show is one for people with acne. You know, and I'm like, so like, that's not even a consideration. And then the other problem that with her being considered ugly because she has acne is her mom, as you mentioned, bullies her a lot. Her mom, the way how the show says that you think the bullying occurs at the school. No, it occurs at home. And a lot of it comes from her mom and her brother. Her mom, who's an esthetician, she has her own beauty salon. She does people's eyes. She does makeup. Never once sat down with her daughter and say, oh, let's figure out how to deal with your acne. What kind of, that's like a doctor ignoring that their kid has a broken limb. How are you treating people at the hospital with broken limbs, you know, whatever. And you go home and you see your child dragging a broken leg and you don't take them to the hospital and get them a cast.
I would say it's like, you're a doctor, your child has a broken leg and you just keep kicking them in the leg because she keeps rubbing it in like, oh, I can't believe you came from me. I can't believe I had you. And like, wow, way to give your child trauma. But also like you said, you know, she should be the one, like, your child's first interaction with like makeup and like beauty care, if your job is in that field, shouldn't be through YouTube. Like, your child shouldn't have to go on YouTube to try to like make herself pretty. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, she treats her badly about doing the makeup. Like, she doesn't support her until like she realizes how bad things were.
And the thing with that is, like, my mom, when, because I did mention I had really bad acne as a teenager, I went into like early adulthood, I'm still now, but like when I was a teenager, my mom took me to the dermatologist. She spent the money and the time to take me to dermatologist to get treated, to find out how to treat my acne. That never happens in the show. What happens? The only time she takes her daughter to the hospital, to the doctor, what is it? A surgeon, a plastic surgeon, to make her beautiful in the eyes. And the only reason she acknowledges that Jukyung is pure, is pretty, not because Jukyung has confidence in herself now, but because a doctor started drawing all over her face and said, oh, well, this is how she's going to live if you do all of this. She's like, oh, well, then she's beautiful. So like, it's only because the doctor did that, that she saw validation and she saw acknowledgement that her own child is pretty. And I'm like, that's, and it's like, to me, it sends such a terrible message. Like, because another thing is just like, like bullying comes in many forms. It's like, yes, the mother is calling her ugly, but like, it, to me, also comes in neglect, that like her mother neglected her. She ignored her. And the brother, like, they never once addressed the brother's bullying. Never once.
I think what happens is he falls for someone who's ugly as well and realizes, oh, well, the beauty is on the inside. But, and that's what fixes it.
But did he really, though? Because he only really started to pay attention and started to be nice to, and that was to So Jun's little sister, who is, oh my gosh, I want to make sure I get the character's name correct. She's Han Gu-woon, played by Yo Ju-ha. She is So Jun's little sister. And the only reason her...
Lee... Was it So Jun? Oh, shoot. Never mind.
Yeah.
She's covered.
Yeah, she's...
Imbibing.
She's So Jun's little sister. And the only reason he thinks she's pretty is because after Jukyung makes her up for the recital, and he hears her sing, she has a beautiful voice. And he's like, oh,
right,
she's pretty. And like she does, and she has on makeup, and she's, and like people are applauding. He's like, oh, so she's pretty now.
I felt it was both that, you know, yes, he saw her with the makeup on, but also like it was her voice that really captivated him, because she doesn't wear makeup, I think, for the rest, or that level of makeup for the rest of the series. And he still is like chasing after her like a little puppy, you know, like I think that in his case, there was a bigger shift away from like obsession with like beauty standards, because like he realizes like, oh, the makeup just like highlights what's underneath a person, what a person really looks like. So like for that, I'm okay with it. But it's like, it is like, okay, but your sister that you grew up with, you should know that she's a good and beautiful person on the inside. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, he never apologizes. He never wants to say sorry for bullying you. Because
no, he just is supportive.
Which, like, no, I want an apology. To me, that's like part of accountability is an apology. I want an acknowledgement that you hurt my feelings. I want an acknowledgement that you know you did wrong. And that's another big con with this show. Is like the only person who ever really apologizes for anything is Soo-jin. Like because of her jealousy, because she wanted so she was like, oh, I'm so jealous, I'm gonna use my friends in vulnerability against her, I'm gonna side with her bullies and get this evidence that she was considered ugly and bullied and treated and literally used as a garbage can with food dumped on her. She was just like, I am going to, she backstabbed her best friend in the back to get this guy who is like, I'm like, why would you think anyone would want to be with you after being so dirty to your best friend? But she actually apologizes, like she apologizes more than once, you know, she apologizes to Joo Kyung and she apologizes to their best friend. And she's like, she acknowledges that she did wrong. The mother didn't apologize for bullying Joo Kyung. She apologized for Joo Kyung being bullied. There is a difference. Like because once she finds out that her daughter's bullied, she's like, I'm so sorry, my baby, that you were bullied. I'm like, yeah, ma, are you not going to apologize for bullying your own daughter too? No? Okay.
Right. Like the home was not necessarily a safe space for her. Like they accepted some things about her, but not her actual facial features. Like, so they let her be like into like dark comics and heavy metal music, which is very sweet. And I love that for her. But you also have to deal with the fact that like these, her mom just didn't support her, and not being supported by your mom hits differently. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a drama with a lot of bad parents because I think we have Joo Kyung's mom and brother, you have Suho's dad, and you have Soojin's dad and her mom up to a point, because her mom is also suffering and isn't able to like break free and take and protect her child, you know. So you have a lot of bad parents. The only good parents really are Sojun's mom and Joo Kyung's dad. That's it.
Now see, this is another, I actually kind of disagree with you there. The only good parent is Sojun's mom. I don't think that Joo Kyung's dad, who's MJ Pil, is a good dad. And the reason for that is he ignores a lot of everything that she's going through because he's caught up in his own problems. And the reason that he's caught up in his own problems is because he was allowed, he got himself swindled. Not once, not twice, but three times. Like, come on, like, you know, like he's like, okay, your family, you were swindled out of your money, you were scammed. Fine. Your family had to pick up, move to a whole new part of town, go back into their old house, everything. That man never wants to try to find a part-time job. What did he try to do? We didn't see him saying, oh, I'm going to go find a job in a factory. I'm going to go find a job as a delivery man. I'm going to go and find candles.
Okay. So I understand that. And I will say he's not as actively awful as the other bad parents across the drama.
He was so neglectful.
He was neglectful. He's not living up to light patriarchal standards. He's like not reliable. I did get a kick out of him crashing at Lee Suho's house. That was so wild. Like he shows up there, like he's not shows up there, but like he goes home with Lee Suho and ends up at his apartment, falls in like the shower, and Suho sees this man as bare as he was born,
naked.
It's wild. Before he sees his girlfriend naked, he sees her dad naked.
Yeah, and her dad was blind drunk because he drank the whole bottle of brandy.
Mood. It's very, I think that there are worse parents, because, like, worse parents in dramas, period, because, like, you have that one, like, detective agency, like, high school drama from maybe 2015 or whatever, that was, like, horrifying. All the parents were, like, monsters. So I'm like, if your base level is does not kill your child or make your child want to kill themselves, I guess you're okay. But yeah, you're right. They're not great parents. So yeah, we'll go with Sojun's mom being the only 100% good parent, supportive, really sweet. Even though she doesn't show up that often, like her energy is really good. And I think I do too. In terms of secondary characters, I think my favorite is her sister, Im Hee Kyung, who's played by Lim Se-mi, because her storyline subverts a lot of the classic genre tropes for romance and K-dramas. Like, she is kind of the man in the relationship, which is really wild. She has the high-paying job. She does the almost the kabe don, which is like putting your arms up to stop your lover from like leaving. She is the one buying the gifts. She's the one going like, she's the one who is kind of cold-hearted even. So she's in a relationship with the teacher, who is Han Jun-woo, who's played by Oh Lee-sik, I think. And I've seen him in other things. I just cannot remember what. I saw him and I recognized his face. And he's really good. He's playing like this like dopey, gentle teacher. And so in opposition to her, she's like this like fierce, ball-busting music industry professional who does have a secret sweetheart. And I love her. Like, I wouldn't watch an entire drama based on that, because like I already got my fill of it from that, but also from like things that happen in other dramas that like collectively make it like really satisfying. But it was really nice. Like, so you have the kind of traditional romance tropes for the main characters, but then you have her subverting that in her relationship.
Yeah, like for sure. Cause so like you're talking about her sister who is Lee Kyung, and she falls in love with the teacher who is played by Jun-woo. So like he's actually, I've seen him quite a bit of dramas. I've seen her too, but I think I've seen him in more dramas. So like he was in like Romance is a Bonus Book, While You Were Sleeping.
That's where I know him from. Romance is a Bonus Book.
Yeah, so he was in like Fight My Way, Touch Your Heart, those kind of dramas. But he's so funny. They're like some of the comic relief in the show. Like one of my positives, and we'll get into that a bit later, is the comedy. Like, this show is genuinely funny. There are moments that, like, I was laughing, and a lot of it had to do with his scenes with the sister. Like, they have such a really fun dynamic. Like you mentioned, like, it does subvert a lot of tropes, especially for female characters, where she's not masculine or anything. She's not acting macho masculine. It's just that she's confident in who she is as a woman. She's like, I'm confident. I have a good job that I can pay and treat you, as because she literally has a line like, I'm gonna keep him in luxury, right? And she's fine with that, because she realized that he came from a struggling background, because as a teacher he doesn't make that much, but then also he's trying to pay off his student loan debt, right? So like, so she understands, and she doesn't expect him to like do these extravagant things, but it's the small things that she appreciates, like him sending her like the flowers that she sent him. He sent some back in this little glass jar, and she was like, oh, this is so sweet and everything. So like, I love their dynamic, and they have like a really mature and funny relationship. The thing with this show is that it shows like different kinds of relationships. Like, every drama is like that. A lot of these, especially the rom-coms, like, that shows like different types of romantic relationship, different types of friendship. And I think like, also, I think their relationship is probably the most consistent, because another con in this show is couples breaking up. Joo Kyung, Soo Ho, once they got together, they're together. But she, because of her, she lacks severe self-confidence. She's, which I understand, like, she's insecure. She's like afraid that she's gonna be bullied, because her concern is that if people find out that, first, this part is a plot hole where it doesn't make sense. So it would be one thing if she said, okay, I'm unconfident in our relationship because I'm insecure about my looks, you know, with the whole, without makeup. If people know that you're dating me without makeup, I'm gonna feel insecure about that. And because he's like extremely, you know, channel, extremely handsome. He has like, you know, the and someone said it in the show, and like it's something I've said before, where he has the manga character look, you know, like he looks like a manga character brought to life. Him and the guy Yong In Yeop, both of them look like manga characters brought to life.
Okay, I don't know if this is true, but word on the street is that the character Eunwoo was playing was based off of Jin from BTS visually. Like, that came up a lot. No, like in the webcomic. So remember, this is based off a webtoon. So that character was based off of, supposedly, was based off of Jin. And that makes sense. There are a lot of webtoons that are based off of, like, created by idol fans. So, like, I'm sure Eunwoo himself has dramas has webtoons that are based off of him because it's the face, you know, like
extremely handsome. Like his face is perfectly proportional, and he was born that way. No plastic surgery. I'm like, you, sir, he's like part bull gum. When you see his features, how are you real?
Like, I never say no plastic surgery because plastic surgery is a lot of things, like even a facial peel.
Well,
even fillers.
Yes,
well, but nobody took a hammer to his face.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking like actual physical like surgery where you have to cut and nip and like you know the show Nip Tuck. So like that's what I'm thinking. That's what when I say plastic surgery, I mean like physical, like undergoing under general anesthesia of having physical your bone structure physically altered, and like they don't have any of that. Okay. But like I'm like, sir, how are you real? How are you real?
I'll send you the link later. So there's an article from 2019 on All K-pop that translated a piece on Insight in Korean, which showed the ways that the creator basically pulled from Jin specifically, like visuals, like not just like his face, but like his outfits and stuff too. Like she was clearly working from like photos of him, like airport photos, like all of his outfits at points. Like it's really funny. Like I'm scrolling and it's like a lot. Like it's a repeated, like her inspiration. And I mean, that's fair. BTS is really big. And as a Korean person living in Korea, you know, like, why not use inspiration from one of the seven best dressed idols out there, I guess.
That makes sense to me. Like when you're writing a book, you write books with characters based on people that you can like visually envision, like, you know, like you can envision, like my friend Rebecca, when she writes her books, she's like, she thinks that like she like is on Getty Images or she goes on like models pages. She's
Rebecca Weatherspoon.
Yeah.
I love her. Her Fit Trilogy is the best. She is one of the best romance writers ever. And I think everybody should love her and like buy her books.
Yes, you should. If you can find her, she's on Twitter, but you can also find her books on Amazon. Rebecca Weatherspoon, Weatherspoon. Yes.
Fit Trilogy. By the Fit Trilogy specifically. The Fit
Trilogy, and there's like three trilogies, because there's Fit Trilogy, then there's the one with desserts. That was the first one I wore was one with the cupcake. The girl is a baker. Is it the Sugar Daddy one? Forgive me, it's not because I don't think, but people, if like I suck at remembering names, so it's not like I'm being like disrespectful. I just suck at remembering titles for books and films. I'm more like descriptive. So like this is the one where she's a baker, she makes cupcakes, and she falls in love with the guy. He's a pyrotechnic technician, and he's half Korean, and he has
that is the third book in the Fit Trilogy. So that's the book with the guy based off of, the love interest is based off of Daniel Henney.
Yes. That book is so hot. That was the first book by her that I read. That one is so hot. I should go read it.
The Sugar Daddy one is, the series is called Sugar Baby, but like, we'll talk more about that eventually, because it's really good.
You know, we should do another episode talking about books, but anywho, but I digress. How did we get here?
We were talking about the inspiration that creator took from Jin, which is super valid. Good for her. Carry on.
Yes, right. So how we got here was, I was saying that it didn't make sense where Jukyeon was insecure about her relationship with Seo, because she wanted to keep it a secret because she was afraid that people would think that she wasn't good enough for him. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense in the context of the fact, but people at their school didn't know what she looked like without her makeup. They didn't know that she was bullied. They didn't know that she had the acne, you know? They knew pretty Jukyeon. They knew like what they call her, the school goddess Jukyeon. Like she was perfectly made. I'm like, that reasoning didn't make sense to me from the context of what they're doing, because Seo knew what she looked like without makeup. That's how he realized her, because he recognized her without the makeup at the comic book store. And I'm like, her saying she wanted to keep a secret because she's afraid people are going to find. I'm like, that makes no sense. That made no sense. And to me, I was frustrated for him, because I'm like, you're I thought of it very personally, because I'm like, imagine me dating someone. Someone says, oh, they're insecure dating me, so they want to keep it a secret. I'd be like, is it because I'm Black? That was all I'm running in my head. But you know, it's like the same kind of thing. Like, why don't you want you're insecure in our relationship? You're insecure and you care more about what other people think about you than what I think about you. And that's a lot of the other thing with this show too. Like, she's very concerned about what everyone else thinks about her.
So it makes sense though, because we're dealing with someone who is told that other people's opinions of her matter more than anything else, right? Like, she's not a person. She is, she's not a person who matters on her own. She's somebody who you basically are, she told us she only matters if she's pretty. And she can't judge whether or not she's pretty. Apparently, other people are the only people who are allowed to sit there and go, oh, well, Ju Kyung is pretty, Ju Kyung is ugly. And so for me, it makes sense that she reacts with fear at the idea, like, oh, well, if they find out that I'm with him, they won't, you know, like, his reputation will go down. Like, even after they do the face reveal, after Soojin reveals that and, like, messes up her life, basically, she's only thinking, oh, well, he's attached to me. Suho's mm-hmm. attached to me. His reputation is suffering. People will make fun of him for being with me. And part of it is that the narrative is saying that she's supposed to be selfless, right? Like, she never really thinks, wow, I need to beat a bitch ass, which yes. is like, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, sweetie, hit them. Like, when they have that fight scene, I was like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because it was like, you don't need to put up with this.
Exactly.
And so it's weird. She doesn't need to put up with this, but she does. Mm-hmm. And it fuels her fear. Mm-hmm. Like, she's terrified of being mistreated. So she does a lot of things she shouldn't, in terms of her own, like, understanding of her inner self, in terms of her relationship with Suho. She's very just like, oh, well, what if? And she doesn't understand that, well, forget a what if. Just, you have the boy, keep the boy.
Exactly. So like, I understood where she's coming, because she's afraid, and she's been, like, being bullied, it can be very traumatic, and it can change the way you see yourself, and it can change the way how you believe others perceive you, and it does mess with your self-confidence. As I said at the beginning, I was bullied in school by 3 separate girls, because I was bullied by someone in first form, I was bullied by second one in second form, I was bullied by someone in third form. And the reason how I stopped being bullied by each of those girls is I had to actually stand up for myself and defend myself, because bullies do not stop unless you make them stop.
Yeah.
Point blank, yeah. Period.
I also was bullied, and I also beat the shit out of people. Like, I think that's the one thing that makes, like, internet bullying so annoying, because you can't just beat a bitch ass. Like, they're in a computer, you know, like, on the other side of the country mm-hmm. or something. But it's definitely, like, if you, in a high school setting, just, like, trip a bitch down the stairs. Like, I was like,
we will not advocate for violence, but, you know, if you
go. So I personally, adrift from Carrie, am advocating self-defense.
So it's the Florida in me. The first girl that I was bullied by, how I made her stop is, I don't know if you guys have them in the States, or I don't think I've seen them on, like, in Korea, but, like, we have these tables, and they're like, they have, like, what we call desk pockets, and it's like, you flip the top up and you can put, like, your books or whatever in on the inside the cubby hole, and you flip it down, and that's the surface right on. So, like, how I made the first bully stop is, like, I remember it was this very vividly, it was the end of the year, school year, and at the end of the school year, for what we do in Barbados is, like, you, like, clean up the entire classrooms, like, you know, for the last week of school, like, you clean up the classroom. If you have any books that you want to take home, you take them. If there's anything you want to throw away, throw away. And that's, like, that's how the last week of our school term, especially if it's the last year in the last week in your, like, school year before you go to another level, is mm-hmm. like, so there were a couple of tables that were, like, broken. So we were getting ready to throw them, like, put them outside for them to be taken away so they could bring in new furniture. And this girl would not leave me alone. So I mentioned this before, but I went to Nagar school. And let me tell you, there is no one that can bully another girl worse than another girl. Girls are extremely vicious and savage when it comes to bullying. And this girl would not leave me alone. So I was very small. Like, I'm 5 feet, not fully grown. So like, as a, this was first form, so I was about 11 years old because I started in school year late. So I was 11 years old, very small, and this girl would not leave me alone. And how I made her stop, one of the tables was loose, the cover was loose. I took it up and I flung it at her. I threw it and it barely missed her head by like a couple inches, and it hit the chalkboard behind her and made it swing, because we had like partitions that can like push back. So it legit made it swing and push back. And like, she was like, why would you? I'm like, you are harassing me for the entire year. I'm like, I let this shit slide.
Oh, it's like the constant across, not just the narratives and dramas like this, because her class, like her teacher doesn't realize she's being bullied until it escalates, like at mm-hmm. the second school, until it escalates. And then at her first school, nobody gave a shit. Mm-hmm. And then like in like our lives, offline, like when we were like, I was also like, the retaliation on my end happened like at the end. Like, I think I remember like eighth grade, like the whole year, like to the point where like all of our parents had been called repeatedly. Like, I was bullied like mercilessly. Then I finally was like, okay, we have a week left in school, so. It's on. And so like in Florida, we don't have backpacks, or most of the United States, we don't have backpacks the last week of school, because that apparently will stop violence, blah, blah, blah. And so like, you have to carry everything in your hands wherever you're going, but you weren't allowed to bring a lot of stuff. So I had like a bottle of water, and this chick like poured it. She had soda. She poured it all over my friend's white shirt that she borrowed from her mom. I was like, okay, gonna beat her ass. I waited for her in front of the principal's office, because our school had tinted windows for some reason, very concerning, but she couldn't see me. So she comes in and sees me. She tries to run, and I beat the holy hell out of her right there. And like, the principal and them were like, oh my God, why would you do that? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I think I actually called the police, by the way. So that was great. that was great. And I think that's always the interesting thing. Like, so the teacher responds like, oh, why would you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, because you didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't help, you don't protect your students. What do you expect to happen? And then like, what was really funny is like, I went to high school with a bunch of those people, and they apparently still didn't learn. So I fought like all of high school.
Yeah, it's the same. The thing with the teachers, and that's something we very common, not only in just Korean dramas, because we've seen in like Chinese dramas, in Japanese dramas, Thai, American TV, like
on the CW.
On the CW, like the teachers, the school administrators, the principals, the parents. Well, my mom, what happened? My mom was like, for the second girl and the third girl that were bullying me, my mom was like, we had parent-teachers conferences, teachers spoke to the teachers. Even my mom, for the third girl, my mom legit went to her house to sit down and tell her mom. I don't know what happened in that conversation, but my mom came home, and my mom was like, the next time this girl harass you and bother you, do what you need to do. And I was like, okay. So I don't know what happened. I'm like, whatever it was, pissed my mom off, you nothing. My girl's like, the next time this girl pushes you, you, deal with it. I'm small, so I take weapons up. I'm scrappy.
Oh my God, I don't think I have it, but so I have this chain. I take it wherever I go, because it doesn't look like a weapon, but it is like a 3-foot length of steel chain. So like, I wear it like as a bracelet. I have had that since I was in high school. Kind of interesting that I've never been arrested for like assault, but also live in Florida, and it was like all self-defense. But it is definitely like, I will maim people.
And that happens at this, and that's what happens in the show, because another problem with the show is we don't see one, like once the parents find out that Joo Kyung is bullied, it's not, the teachers aren't addressed. Like, she never goes to the teachers and say, why didn't you guys protect my daughter while she was on school grounds? We never see her actually talking about the bullying with Joo Kyung. She like, you know, she said, I'm so sorry, my baby was bullied, but she never actually sits down and talk with her about how the bullying damaged her confidence, how the bullying, you know, affected her mentally, how it affected her emotionally. And, you know, like it just kind of just like a thing that happens and it's never really addressed. Yeah. And like the thing with bullying, this is one of the things that like I hate bullies. It's just like, it's almost treated as though this is something that is going to happen. So like, learn to deal with it. But like the teacher, what he did is like, so like once the kids find out that Joo Kyung was considered ugly and was treated, they shunned her. So these are the kids in the school. They shunned her too. And they start talking about her. And she like had a panic attack. She left school. And the teacher doesn't address that. He doesn't. What he addresses is that when Soojin, she uploads the pictures and the kids start to bully Soojin.
Yeah.
He talks to them and talk about, I'm disappointed you think. But he never once talked about how they shunned and bullied Joo Kyung either.
Well, I think it was like the combination. I think he was kind of calling out both things at once, but it felt really uneven because at that point it had been like a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like his only acknowledgement that something was going on was like, Joo Kyung is not in school. Whereas once you know it's revealed that that Soojin was responsible, you know, like both things were happening. Like he's trying to call out both, like you can't bully, because he does bring it up. I remember he does bring it up because he said that he was afraid of them. It was both, and I think it was both in relation to Soojin then kind of being like retaliatorily bullied, but also with Joo Kyung, because like he does know her, mm-hmm. right? Like, so I think that that's a little bit different from like the average teacher thing, where so I don't know, I think like, not to be super fair to him, but I think he was trying.
Yeah, I think the bullying in the show, and the thing is because bullying is such a large aspect of the show, I think it was handled very weakly. And to me, that's the biggest criticism, because it's just like, why you like so much of the plot, so much of Joo Kyung's storyline revolves around her bullying. It's never really resolved or addressed. Like people say a few things, people say a few lines, but no one actually talks about how damaging bullying is to people.
I would just like her to hit more people. That's where I'm at. Because like, okay, maybe we don't need like a heavy-handed like, bullying is wrong, don't bully people. Maybe we could have just had like maybe when they bought like the CD for the idols and they're like beating the bullies' asses over it. You know, just more of that. Like she, Joo Kyung scolds the girls, like when she like claims kind of ownership of her relationship with Suho, you know, she scolds them like, you don't know. What is it? You don't know who came after King Sejong. Like, she's trying to embarrass them academically, but like the show has already established that Joo Kyung is kind of not great at academics herself. So I was kind of like, doesn't really work for me. Sojun's sister beating the one girl's butt. That was great. She went after that girl.
The only time we see her really stand up for herself is like right at the very ending, but before that, the scene you're talking about with the girls is she doesn't even do it in defense of herself. She's doing it in defense of Isuho. She's doing it in defense of her boyfriend because they're talking bad about him, because they're saying, right, why would he date someone like her, like, you know, like. And I'm just like, so even in this instance, the time when she finally tells off the bullies isn't for herself, where she's like saying, you guys hurt me, you guys damaged, none of that. No, she has agency for herself. It's for her own boyfriend, who can defend himself. Like, we've seen him stand up.
It was really satisfying. Like, he shows up and he kisses her on the forehead, and in the background, the main girl bully drops, like passes out, and he like hugs her. And like, I loved that. And I think like, I know part of it is like different expectations based on like cultural properties, because like, I grew up with like Sweet Valley High, you know, soap operas and stuff, where like if somebody's being bullied, they're gonna probably kill the person, you know, like, or that person will die an awful death. Yeah, I watched a lot of terrible things as a child.
Oh, yeah, I used to read the Sweet Valley books too, and they used to got dark in them books. Like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So, like, I understand that a significant portion of my con, having the bullying plot resolution or non-resolution be a con, is because of, like, the cultural understanding kind of passing by, kind of. And so, like, somebody who is Korean watching this, you know, Korean in Korea, right, or in the diaspora, like maybe in a large Korean population in a diasporic situation, is going to have a different reaction based on, like, their age and their own background. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, it's a con, but it's not, it's a con for me, but it is not a detraction for the show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the show is still really good, and I think that this is not the worst way I've ever seen a K-drama handle bullying. There are some that have really handled it poorly, where they've just been like, no, it's the person's fault. And this is, like, from years ago, like, talking, like, 2008, 2009 K-dramas were sometimes
flowers.
Traumatizing on many levels. And that was not a good manga series beyond that. Like, that's an adaptation I wish had never been made for many reasons.
And there's a new version of Boys Over Flowers being done, a Taisho. I'm like, why are you people resurrecting the storyline again? Let it die.
I hate the storyline. I also hated, in terms of, like, how you're dealing with bullying and stuff, the Cinderella and her Four Knights drama. Also, I felt handled bullying really poorly, especially because that was kind of, like, relationship bullying. Like, yeah. She ends up with the knight or whatever, who is the one that's mistreating her, mm-hmm, the most out of the group. And I'm just like, and, like, when I found that out, I was like, memes, we're not watching any more of this, we're done, like, I'm out. And even though memes loves her some toxic K-drama lead, she was like, yeah, you're right, this is bad.
She was
six then, so
he is toxic. And like, in my first, because the first episode for Beyond the Romance was an episode where we talked about Cinderella Furnace, and I get into that. And like, this is something that I've talked about recently on Twitter. And the thing with Asian dramas, and I'm not gonna only make it specific to Asian dramas, just TV in general, because we get it a lot in our North American cinema and media, is where these men are dismissive, passive aggressive, sexist, misogynistic, belittling to the love interest, the women that the female character is supposed to love ultimately and fall in love with. And it's like, oh, ooh, this is so romantic. I'm like, you're a jerk. This is why the second lead syndrome is so real, because, like, the second leads are actually usually, like you were saying, like, you prefer,
yeah,
the second leads are usually written better and more relatable than the, yeah, male leads. Like, Suho, I actually like Suho. Like, this, like you're saying, like,
he's not bad. He just stresses me out at one point to where I'm like, okay, but you know who's not stressing me out? Sojun. Sojun's not stressing me out. So he deserves some happy ending. And I mean,
wish he did get a happy ending. But he didn't get a happy ending.
He did get a happy ending. He just didn't get what I wanted. And I do not write fan fiction for K-dramas, so I cannot write fix-it fan fiction where he, Suho and Jukyung end up in a polyamorous relationship as adults and live happily ever after, because that's not a thing
actually
I'm capable of writing.
You may not be capable of writing, but I was actually, before, because I knew we were going to record this, I actually started to look for fanfic, and I haven't read any, but I was just like going through the script, and I'm pretty sure there is at least a throuple involving Jukyung, Sojun, and Soho. And there's very, and I'm sure
I almost dabbed. I almost dabbed out of excitement.
Yes.
But I won't. I won't do that to you.
Nah.
But I want to.
But the thing is, a lot of these male characters are super toxic. And like, for they mentioned, thank God none of the male characters in this, that isn't toxic, he's just problematic. The brother, the brother is toxic, because the thing with him is like, there's this thing where dramas where like the male characters don't know how to accept no. Like,
yeah,
where, like,
he's a pushy little,
and it's supposed to be like, oh, because he's cute. Like, the actor makes it cute and funny because he's funny, and the actor is Kim Min Ki, so he's funny. The way he plays him is funny, but I'm like, the actual characteristics of the character are not funny. He's pushy. He's misogynist. As you mentioned, he bullied his sister. We know he has a propensity to be extremely cruel to girls and to women. And like, he doesn't know how to take, the sister, she keeps telling him, she's like, I'm not interested in you. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Right. Like, you're supposed to assume that, like, in the distant future, they'll be also a thing.
Because he basically bears her down.
He does. And that's not great. It's the romance trope. And I mean, it's still not not the worst, because, like, right now in, like, English language romance novel publications, you have a rise of dark romances, like, in air quotes, dark romances, where, like, and I mean, liking a hero that's unkind is one thing. Liking a hero who's, like a human trafficker who, you know, makes an exception for one part of his product is another, you know,
or like sell the rest, but I'll keep you.
Right. Like that's the thing that we're seeing a rise of, like actual like rapists and murderers who are attempting to harm the female lead. And it's, and like they change their mind at some point, but it's not usually before like their first sex scene or something. So it's definitely like there are worse ways to do a romance. And so I always keep that in mind. And there, like, I've seen romance, like romantic shows and movies where I'm just like, oh, y'all should not be together. Y'all should not even be in the same room. And like, so I feel like it depends on like what the webtoon is doing for the brother. Cause I don't know, like, cause I haven't actually read the webtoon. I just know about the Jin connection. So after this, I'm going to read the webtoon. So if the brother is there and he has the same story beats, there I want it to end differently. You know, like if the brother and Sojun's sister end up together, I want it to be completely different. I don't want it to be like, I'm wearing her down. So, but I understand it's a 16 episode TV show based on an in-progress webtoon. So there's a lot that they had to squish in. There's a lot they had to like redo or end before it's time. So, okay. Got it.
Yeah. These kind of characters are the reason why I don't really read manga, especially people call them BL. I personally prefer the term MILF, because to me, BL is infantilizing, especially when you're talking about characters who are grown men, you know? But again, this is just me.
You should read my article in Teen Vogue about boys love fandoms. It is way better than boys love is way better than anything, because boys love refers kind of to the tone of the content. So something like, if you Google this, I'm so sorry, but something like Underground Hotel is not necessarily boys love, because it is not about love. It's not.
You mean romantic love, or because there's a difference. There's like romantic love, there's Phileas love, there's Eros love, and that's something.
It's a prison erotic series. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's something different from like even like, because I'm obsessed with this series called Mad K, and it's definitely has erotic and romantic element to it, even though it's like this is like the bad end in a game, because it's the bad end. It's the bad end for like a game, like you playing like an otome game, the worst ending you could get. That's what Mad K is basically.
Listen, when I'm reading fiction, whether it's fanfic or whatever, I need happy endings. Okay, reality sucks enough as it is. I need to know that couples, the fan, everyone is going to have their happy ending, that they all ride off into the sunset to a glorious end.
No, you only get bad endings if you're bad at games. But Mad K for me is, once we get another volume, I'll tell you how it goes. But two volumes in, yeah, we're not getting a happy ending. There's literally no way.
Oy vey. But the thing is, like we were talking, like the thing with male love dramas or BLs is like, I stopped reading the mangas. Because to me, many of them have, and this is in relation to what we're talking, a lot of the characters, especially for the main characters, have a lot of toxic characteristics. Like they're pushy again. And there's a lot of them have this very dominant, submissive thing going on with the Lees. Like the Lees are very, very, from the ones that I've read, of course I haven't read every, I've only read a few, but the ones that I've read, like there was very few of them where the Lees were on equal footing. You know, a lot of them were
imbalance.
There's a power
imbalance is huge across romance. That's why, like, even here, even in this, even in something like True Beauty, where everybody's a high school student, there's still elements of power imbalance, like social power, mm-hmm. right? But also financial power with Suho and there's a whole financial and social element there. But like, if you, because that's not the point of the drama. The drama of the drama is kind of like the your name self-insert. You can have the guy even if you're ugly fantasy.
Or if you come from like the lower class of society, he's super rich. You know, that's a very popular thing where like the and this is another thing that is not only in manga, but in oh my gosh, especially I find it very common in Chinese dramas, Chinese and Taiwanese dramas in particular, where the male lead is perfect. They're rich, good looking, they're top of their class. They're extremely savvy businessmen. They're good cooks. You know, I'm like, yes, this is fiction, but I can only suspend my disbelief
so far.
I'm like, you guys are asking me way too much. And then like they have all of these things, but I'm like, you're still a shitty man though. Like you're still dismissive of her. You call her a fool and pat her on the head like she's a dog. And like, you're my cute little idiot.
As you know, like that's definitely like, the reason why that doesn't ping for us in the same way, like I'm assuming, like if somebody who grew up, you know, in China, Korea, is watching like Riverdale or any soap opera,
they look at Riverdale, right? And say, what the hell is going on there?
Right, their response to like essentially like American mating rituals is gonna be like, what the hell is this? Like, what is this? This is not romantic. This isn't sexy. So it's like you have like cultural competency means kind of like what we're doing, being able to look at a drama and go, wow, it's really weird that, you know, like dudes don't have to do aegyo in relationships, like to the point where Suho gets mocked for doing aegyo, right?
Which is kind of weird to me, because the thing is like, and the only reason he's mocked is because he's rich, he's considered rich and cool, because when their other friend does it, you know, the second couple,
they mock him a little bit too.
That's like normal. Like they don't make fun of him, but they make fun of Suho because he's super rich.
I feel like, right? They make fun of him, but yeah, no, they make fun of Suho way more.
Right? Especially the same one who taught him to do the aegyo. I'm like, you're the one who taught him this stupid song. Why are you making fun of him?
It's so cute. Okay.
It was cute. I'm not gonna like, it's okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm like cute.
So cute. But
you're talking about cultural competency and literacy. I would also use the word literacy, because the reason I like, one of these days I would love to be able to talk to someone who works. I've done that before. I've talked to a writer and the DP for an assistant DP for the show Law School, but I would love to talk to writers. I want to talk to actual like people in the Korean drama industry, or just like fans in Korea and China, Taiwan, because I like to talk about different dramas, about their perspective of these dramas, because I don't want to, because like we're talking from our own perspective. Like for me, I'm talking as my perspective as a Black woman, and then as a perspective of a Black woman born in Barbados, raised in the Caribbean, moved to North America, and my own experience from that. And you're talking as someone who grew up in North America, and you know, you're on like, we can only from our own perspective and our understanding of what is a just society, because like, and like when it comes to things like patriarchy and things, like one thing I will never do is try to say that North America or anywhere else is better than South Korea, whatever.
No, it's
like,
not.
Everywhere is patriarchal. We
live in a society.
Men are shitty everywhere. I always tell people this: men are trash everywhere. Get that correct.
Yeah, so like, they are. The thing that differs is how the patriarchy is enacted, not that the patriarchy is present. Period. Yes, we've spent a lot of time talking about cons. Should we talk about some pros?
But I think we've been talking a bit about the pros in between, because we talked about the sister relationship with the brother. But yes, let's shift mainly to the pros, because like, but this is one thing I love talking about conversations, because we talked about many different things, and this is one thing I love. Like I love doing this, because I can talk We can talk. We ended up talking about BL. We started talking about manga, like, you know, and like even our own history with school and stuff. But yes, let's talk about the pros. So, what are your main pros?
My biggest pro is Hwang In-yeok as Han So-jun. Like, his face is beautiful. He is just, I love to look at him. And I love his evolution as kind of like the school tough. You know, he's a badass. You know, you kind of fear that he'll be a bully, but you realize that he actually has really deep moral code, a solid core. And he has a wound from trauma that directs him as he navigates through, like, yeah. And I thought that his character was easily probably the best character for me in the drama, because I was like, oh, this poor baby, I love him. and I really loved him just overall. I really did like, I like the developing romance, and I think that Eunwoo is just really cute in this role. So, like we talked about, this is very similar thematically to my ideas Gangnam Beauty, which is in that drama, the main character gets like massive plastic surgery done so that she can, not deal with people saying she's ugly, basically. And so it's the same, so he serves the same kind of love interest role, where he's the handsome guy that falls for this previously ugly young woman, but it tonally is completely different because he knew her beforehand and he liked her then. Like, they were friends as children. And it's just very cute. You know, sometimes the childhood friends to lovers romance is not great, or like they met as children and they fell in love thing. That's one of the things that I hated about What's Wrong with Secretary Kim, because I was like, you didn't need to put that in there. They didn't need to. That whole little, they were kidnapped by the same woman as children, but like, no, they didn't need that. But here, I like it. I think it's really cute, and because it shows that he sees her and mm-hmm. that he's always seen her. And I think the resolution, so like the end of the series, is really good for me. While I want Han So-jun to have good things in his life, like a polyamorous relationship, I'm satisfied with him debuting and being able to follow the goal that he and his friend who passed away by suicide, you might not remember, but that whole scandal, you know, kind of was resolved. But still, like, as with many things, not really, because again, it is a 16 episode drama.
Yeah, for sure. So I was looking for something particular, because like, you thought like Hwang In-yeok, like, he is extremely good looking, but he was reminding me of another actor. Because we talked about how him and Cha Eun-woo kind of look very unrealistic. We talked about perfect features. And there's another actor that if the three of them ever end up working in a drama together, probably I could see it being an idol drama or something. It would be a sight to behold. So there's this actor named Lee Se-yeon, and he was in a drama called Light on Me. So like, he looks like a manga character brought to life. So that's just an aside. I just have to say, because it was bugging me the entire time because I couldn't remember the name of the drama. But like, yes, that's an aside. But I agree with you. Like, I do like how Han So-jun is, he also kind of subverts a lot of tropes too, because like, you know, he is like because he's extremely good looking, but he has very angular features. And I find for Asian dramas in particular, especially for Korean dramas, especially for the idol dramas, like, people, actors who have a very specific look to their face, you know, like very angular, you know, the sharp eyes, have even the hairstyle is very tropey, in that they're written as very cold characters that, you know, like, they don't relate much to people. Like, they're, you know, like, they're not nice to people, or they're like standoffish, you know, they're like the cold, yeah. They're like the sundry. He's not a sundry at all, because he kind of is, because he does like, he does seem standoffish, but not as much as Seul. And actually he's
like an onion.
He's like an onion. There's layers.
I'm sorry to pull up Shrek references in 2021, but it's
Shrek
layer.
bring up the Shrek. He's leered. He's like a onion. You want to peel back the layers. And the thing with him is, like, with his friends, like, he's very funny with his friends. He's very relaxed with his friends. And, like, they joke around with him. And he's very, he's loving with his little sister. He will defend his little sister against anything, you know? And, like,
the part of that.
I love that he's like that with his sister. And he's, like, he doesn't care who's around. He will beat up anyone for his little sister. And I love that. And I just love, and I wish we had, I would love to see him and Chunwoo in another drama together, because I think they work really well together on screen. Like, they have really good energy. And this is another
thing.
I think they have really good energy, because, like, there are some actors that you can tell, like, when they work really get well together. And, like, for Chunwoo, like, I'm so, like, as I said at the beginning, I was very hesitant to start because of the premise. And I'm not really an idol drama watcher. Like, I don't really watch idol dramas, as they call them. But for Chunwoo, he's grown so much as an actor, I think. He's getting so much better. And I want to see him play, I can't wait to see him play adult roles, like adult dramatic roles. I want to see where his career goes, because I think he needs to be challenged as an actor. I want to see him use his face more. He did that more in this drama. Like, there are a lot of funny scenes between his character and Sojun. Like, when they end up in the hospital, like, they're very funny. And, like, this show,
oh, that was incredible
timing, right? Like, you can, like, Chunwoo got to be a comedian. He got to show that he can be funny, that he can do physical comedy. And, like, I'm like, yes, please, Chunwoo, please keep taking more of these roles. As far as I know, there's another drama coming up where he is going to be it's something I've been asking for real long, because I think he has the capabilities to do it. It's a dark drama, and that one is called Island. It's going to be an OCN drama coming out, and he's playing a priest.
Oh,
of all things. But it's a thriller, and I'm like, yes, please give Chunwoo a drama where he can be dark and broody. But I want to see him really get, like, dark and deep, because I think he needs to be challenged that way. But so, like, they saved this drama for me a lot, because I really look forward to his scenes with Hwang Hyun-yup, and, like, also the sister and the teacher. Like, they had me dying. Like, when he saw the car parked, he was throwing
things, and it was the parents. And it was the parents. How do you embarrass yourself in front of your in-laws like that?
Oh my gosh, he's like, get out of here, throwing the leaves out of the car. I'm like, my man, my guy. Yeah.
The comedy, the comedic aspect of the drama really does kind of save it from being too similar to, like, previous, like, so, like, My ID's Gangnam Beauty. It also stops you from kind of really fixating on the issues with the premise of, like, beauty standards are bad, but also what if we uphold them? Mm-hmm. Because, like, it's very similar. Like, if you've seen Oh My Venus, I think that was My Venus,
and there's another one.
Like, I don't. I hate Oh My Venus, and I love the main, the female lead, but, like, learning she was in a fat suit. No, right? But, like, the concept of, like, oh, beauty standards are bad. You know, love you as you are. That is undercut by the premise, having the actress in a fat suit and losing weight as a character so that her outward beauty matches her inner beauty. It's like, that doesn't feel great.
Yeah. There was that one. And then there's another one that we had, Park Seo Joon. It's a similar concept where, like, the female character, she had acne. So, like, she had, like, rosacea. She had rosacea on her cheeks. And, like, she was considered ugly because of that. And also because she, like, all you have to do is, girl, wash your hair. Like, she considered herself because she had rosacea and she was ugly. I'm like, get a medicated cream, treat the rosacea, and wash your hair and style it. Done. Like, you don't need to put on, like, tons of makeup, change who you are aesthetically, change the way you speak and behave to be considered pretty. And this shows.
Oh, she was pretty.
That's literally the name. She was pretty.
I tried watching it and I never got past the first episode because I was like, really? No.
This is one of those ones where it's notoriously known as, this is actually that was actually the show that made me learn the term second lead syndrome, because many, many fans of the show love the second lead. But because again, Park Seo Joon's character, he is kind of like the character of Lee Soo-ho, where he was very dismissive, mean, you know, said like belittling comments, but he's extremely handsome and successful, so he's hot.
He is.
And I'm like, he is. I mean,
very handsome.
Park Seo Joon too. But like, it's the same premise. So like a lot of these shows like On My Venus, I'm just like, if there's another show like this coming, and there probably will be, because this is a very specific subgenre, like these are specific storylines that we will always see. I just hope they develop the stories better and develop and actually tackle the mental and emotional toll that bullying takes on people. And also just normalize talking about acne. Like, no one mentions the word acne.
So there is a part where Sua, her other friend, like they're talking, they're kind of working things through, and Sua like cups her face and like leans in. She's like, "Oh, you have to take better care of your skin. Oh, I go. This is like, why didn't anybody tell her to wash her face? But also like, why didn't she know to wash her face? Because literally, as part of a heavy, intensive makeup routine, she would have to wash her face and prep it and stuff. So she should already know that she has acne and that acne is manageable.
And we only ever see her washing her face with just plain water, one, and only because like something happened that made like, you know, like some people ran into her. She's like, oh, she got dirty on her face. Like she was hiding from this girl that moved from her old school, and she, to hide who she is, she put her face into a cake and she goes to the bathroom to wash her face. I'm like, she never washes her face with soap. She never uses a cleanser. We never see her using medicated cream. Again, this is a big issue for me with this whole show. It is very clearly acne, and acne is never actually addressed.
I don't know if they could have spent time on that.
They could have. Because, like, her mom's an esthetician. Her mom would have been like, we should go.
Yeah, just because, like, 16 episodes seems long. They're, like, an hour and a half long.
All those scenes were her buying makeup. How many times did we see her buying makeup? We didn't never
watch it. Okay, so maybe, like, swap some makeup buying scenes with, like, makeup cleansing.
Like, go and buy some medicated cream. Like, actually, she goes to the makeup counter, the person say, here's some creams for people with sensitive skin. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you can, you know, here's, she's, and then she wants to be a cosmetologist. First, this is just a nitpick of mine, but it's something that cracks me up with these shows. Like, people are like, oh my God, your makeup doesn't make, I'm like, she looks no different than how she looked 10 minutes ago. This is the very same makeup.
No, because she looks like herself. Like, the actress. Like,
they were like, try this lipstick. That's like a half shade lighter than the one she wore before. There's no significant change.
It's such a choice. And I mean, I would love to like see like if any like beauty bloggers, you know, like any Korean makeup user, like, you know, like you're a YouTuber, you do makeup in Korea, like what their responses were to True Beauty. Like, I thought it was really cute and kind of cheeky to have the one really rude makeup influencer be like, oh, well, you know, do your makeup better because I can't have you running around saying that you learn from me when you look like this. I'm like, she looks fine.
I'm like, she looks the exact same. The thing that killed me with that scene is like the YouTuber, and if you looked at Jukyeon's makeup, legit the same. I paused and I'm like, am I tripping? Their makeup is the exact same. The makeup artist for the show itself didn't do anything dramatically different. Heck, Sojun had better makeup and more dramatic makeup for the end where he's performing on stage than anyone else for the entire show. You know, I'm like, these YouTubers, I'm like, what are you people talking about? All you people have on is the same shade of foundation and same lipstick. Like, no one does anything super dramatic. Like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, he had better makeup. Like, he actually had a shadow. Like, that's just a funny thing. I just thought it was hilarious. I'm just like, girl, why are you here? Because you like your makeup ain't no better than different than what she's wearing.
Yeah. I guess another pro would be, so I guess the kind of overarching theme that like it's weirdly addressed, but I thought it was still okay. It was like, what do you, it's kind of like survivor's guilt. After dealing with a friend who's died by suicide, you know, both Suho and Sojun have survivor's guilt. And so I thought that having that across the series and how it ends ultimately with them still doing their best to live their dreams was really validating. Like, it still sucks that that happened, right? Because, like, it was over essentially a misunderstanding, right? Not misunderstanding, but like the machinations, like to be shady, to hide a different issue. So like that part sucks that, you know, you had to deal with that storyline and then it ends with the character dying that way, but how it then informs the rest of the show and how, like, clearly, you know, both of our male leads are going to be anti-bullying because they witnessed what like harassment can do to someone that they care for.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So I thought that was sure. really good to have that.
Yeah, for sure. Cause like Sojun, like he sees the girls bullying Joo Kyung, and this is where someone actually not like he's physically violent with them, but he like physically gets in their space, and he's just like, why are you bullying her? And then she shows him the picture. He's like, am I supposed to care that this is how she looks without makeup? And he takes the phone and smashes it. I'm like, yeah, someone funny did something that I would do. Take the phone and smash it. Just like her. But he was like, and she's like, what do you think? He's like, because like I don't condone bullying. And he said it for his sister. And like for him, is like he doesn't take bullying for anyone. He doesn't, you know, like he's like me. My mama said like I took a fire rage. Like I can't stand bullying. And he's the same way. So like again, this is where I think like he and also Iso, they had this, to me, the beauty of True Beauty is their relationship, how their relationship changes and progresses, because they were friends who lost touch with each other and they began, there was resentment, and then they found their friendship back together and they became friends and brothers again and started to connect again through their music. To me, that's the best part of this show. Like I was more interested in them. Than Joo Kyung, partly because like she irked my soul. Like, I could not stand the way she spoke.
I know you put that in the our group chat, and so I thought her voice was very cute, but she is doing kind of like Perma Aegyo. Like she is cutesy. Makes sense. I'm okay with that personally, but like I understand why like other people might not be.
So we're gonna wrap up. So our overall thoughts with, because I don't grade, I don't like do grade like out of five whatever. Right. But like overall thoughts for True Beauty, that you would like to close off with.
I expected to kind of have to like suffer through Eunwoo's acting the way I have with a lot of his other dramas. So I've seen all of his dramas. And so I was very pleasantly surprised to see him show like really measurable growth. I loved the relationships in the drama. I felt like, yes, sometimes it was cheesy or like stressful, but I was like, oh, cute. Mm-hmm. I have been hit with second lead syndrome, even though the first lead is not a bad character. Eunwoo was playing a really cool guy, but Hwang In-yeo is really cute, and he's like a really perfect balance of like of like edgy, almost asshole, and like sensitive sweetheart that I think really works. And so normally I'm like not as super attached to female leads. Like the last time I was this attached to a female lead was with Kang Dani in Kang Dani?
Yeah, Dani in
yes, Love of My Life. Whenever she cried, I cried. I felt almost as deeply for Ju Kyung as I did Dani. And so that's pretty cool to feel a genuine emotion.
I get attached to characters. I do. For Dani, like Dani's one of those characters you're like, you just want her to win. Like you're just like, I want Dani to win.
That's my baby. She's older than me, but that's still my baby.
Yeah, for her. Let me see. If I was to say a character that I really connected with recently, it would probably be the character from Mine, played by Kim So Young. Like that character, I love her. I love any character Kim So Young plays. I just love any character she plays. She's so good. Like if I met her in person, I would just be like, "You're amazing. You're an amazing actress."
I would be like, "Marry me." That's what I would say. And then she'd be like, "Stop."
She's fantastic. But for Tributey, my overall thoughts is were I really love the development of friendships in this. The development of romantic relationships, the only one I was really honestly truly connected to was the sister and the teacher, because like they subverted a lot of tropes with them as characters. And then I love the acting. I think the young actors in particular were really good, were really impressive, especially Chan-Uno. He's grown so much as an actor. So I'm happy that you convinced me to watch it, because I got to see him be something different. I got to see him be funny and have comedic scenes with Hwang In-yeop. Like when they went to, like they went from very dramatic and somber and sad to just like doing like pratfalls, like, you know, like falling into a mud patch. And like their scenes were genuinely funny and they have a really good friendship on screen. So I'm happy that I watched it for that. I got to see. And Hwang In-yeop, I think this is the first drama that I've seen him in. I'm going to check his thing now. But he was in, I haven't seen the Sound of Magic. Yeah. Oh, right. Taylor Nokdu. That's one that I started and I need to finish, but I'm glad I didn't watch it because I got to see him. So I'm really impressed with his acting as well. So I'm looking forward to see where his career goes. And
he has a drama coming out, hopefully. So it said 2021 before I clicked the link, and then when I clicked it, it's like release date to be announced. Called The Sound of Magic. I'm not sure. It's The Sound of Music, Sound of Magic. It's going to be on Netflix.
So we'll see. The one that's coming out next week is called the White Osuje, and that's with Hwang In, So Yeon Jin and Ho Jun Ho, two really fantastic actors. So I'm really looking forward to see him working with these more mature, with adult actors, because all of his scenes, apart from the scenes with their mom, are between people his own age. So I'm interested to see him. Yeah. In these scenes with them, especially these two extremely strong performers.
Oh, and it's going to be like a Nuna romance, isn't it?
Which one? White also.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, let me see. Hold on.
I don't know. It feels like it's going to be a Nuna romance. It just has a vibe.
Oh, okay. All right, you know me. I'm here for the Nuna romances, because we all too often we get romances with the significant age gap between the male and the female. And like this one, he's in law school, so he's an adult, and I'm like, okay. And she's when is this coming? It says first half of 2022, so probably in early spring, possibly.
Probably.
I like this actress, so she's really good. So Yeon Jin, she's really good. So that is fun. So again, that's it. Thank you so much for talking with me, Stitch. And before we wrap up, like, tell everyone where they can find you and find your work and where they can find your podcast and your writing.
Oh yes, I keep forgetting. So I do have a podcast that I rarely update. I'll do better in 2022. It's called Stitch Talks Ish. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, probably Google Podcasts, I guess, and Buzzsprout. My website is stitchmediamix.com, and if you wanted to follow me on Twitter and you're not blocked, because I do chain block people, so people do get caught in that, my handle for my professional Twitter is stitchmediamix. You can also buy a book I wrote, but like, you'll see that if you go on Twitter, because it's there. It's like my pinned tweet. But yes, thank you so much for having me. This was fun, and it was a long time in the making. I'm sorry it took me so long to finish a drama.
I know. There was another one that you said we were going to discuss too, but I can't remember what that one was.
It was Doctors.
It was Doctors. Oh, yeah, I still haven't started that.
2017 drama Doctors. And like, yeah. I kept restarting it and then not finishing it.
So that's one of the many, many ones I've started and I need to finish because I think I watched the first two episodes and just like, I got distracted by another one. But you
have almost finished. I almost finished it and I didn't.
That happens occasionally. Everyone, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CarrieSandwich12. That's CarrieSandwich12. You can follow the hashtag Dramas with Carrie, where I like tweet the dramas that I'm currently watching. Hashtag Saturday Night Sci-Fi, where I am a co-host on my Saturday Night Sci-Fi Peace Live tweet. Sci-fi genre films and TV shows every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can find my writing on my Audrey page, which is linked in the description box for my YouTube channel. And you can, as if you're listening to this in podcast, you can find the YouTube version on my YouTube channel under my name, Caroline Hines 12. If you're watching this on YouTube and you want to listen to it, if you're like driving or reading or cleaning or whatever, you can find the YouTube link. You can find this on Spotify and SoundCloud, as well as on the Beyond the, what am I saying? butwhythepodcast.com site. You will find the podcast link there with a brief synopsis of the show. And you can find any of my latest writings in my pinned tweets for my Twitter account, as well as in my Instagram feed. And until the next episode, please stay safe. Thank you again, everyone, for listening, for watching. Thank you again so much, Stitch, for talking with me. This was so much fun.
It was.
Yay, can't wait to do it again. And everyone, yeah. Bye.